everyone, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of The Scoop. I'm Dalton Balthaser, joined by Matt Vender, Kyle Gauss, Greggy Pucks, Greg Payone, and John DiCarlo.
I love the fact that's stuck.
Well done.
Thank How you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Too bad.
It's hot outside.
It is.
Greg's a little sweaty.
I am a little sweaty.
Get a little closer to Kyle here. Greg was running late, got stuck in some traffic. That's exciting.
Yeah, Bridge Avenue.
Tell us about what Bridge Avenue looked like today.
Bridge Avenue today?
Yeah.
A lot of strollers out, a lot of people pushing their babies out in the strollers today. It's nice out. The local bars, the people were sitting outside.
What's going on at Peck Miller's?
I don't know. That's your hang, isn't
I've never been to Peck Miller's.
Lies.
Lies. I've been to some dive bars. I've never been to Peck Miller's.
See, they're closing the Kildare's or Manioc.
I did see that.
You said it's time. It's time for us to close. Yeah, you just weren't making money anymore.
That's what they said.
It's time.
It's been time.
It's the Beatles breaking
up. Yeah,
it's
like it's John, Paul, Ringo, and George. It's time to move on. And there's my first British accent podcast. So,
yeah, we're here to talk about sports, aren't we?
Boy, we were all wrong last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greg was close to it. Greg was close to calling for an upset.
I
said it was going to be choppy from the beginning.
Choppy was the word. Yeah.
Choppy was the word I used.
Captain Greg.
I thought it would be
choppy. Then once we get
into the Dead Sea,
we'll be fine.
I'm a little sailboat, and the wind's hitting crack. But I said it was going to be choppy from the beginning. Just getting the offense in tune. Jahad Thomas's injury didn't help things.
Right.
But
I didn't know about that until we got to the game.
Yeah. Well, I thought eventually that they would find their rhythm and it would just take a bit to get going, but it never got going.
I mean,
well, it did for that first drive there until that.
I was saying, it got worse. Like, they went into halftime up, 10-7. The first two offensive drives, which they only probably had three or four in the first half, looked fine. Just one point, Broderick Yancey just lets a ball just completely bounce off his hands into the arms of a Army defender. But then after that, yeah, it's just all of a sudden Army's defense started getting more penetration. Temple couldn't get anything going on offense. Armstead looked really solid in the first quarter, and then they shied away from him, and his numbers started to disappear as the game went forward. And honestly, I was talking like a coworker to that. At times on the field, it looked like Temple didn't know Army was running the triple option. Like, it looked like they just walked to the field expecting a pro offense. It was like, oh, man, look, we got this triple option coming against us. Like, wasn't the way that Temple fans wanted to start the season.
Yeah, and probably what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, you know, they didn't really use the triple option as much as, you know, we thought. They just fullback dive after fullback dive after fullback dive.
So I asked Sharif Finch about that because that's what Rule said. Like, at times they weren't even running the option. They were just doing fullback dive. Sharif Finch was quick to tell me, it may not look like they're running the triple option, but they're still running the triple option. Like, the cuts are still the same. It's still, like, triple option, like, blocking. So, like, he's like, I understand what you're saying. He's like, but it really,
which is,
it
you
still
know,
looks the same.
Which is true. And, like, Matt, I think Matt mentioned that yesterday in this press conference and saying, like, the threat of it is still there. The cut blocking is still there. I think there's a mailbag question coming up somewhere along the way where people were saying, you know, some guy's saying, why can't we just stack the box on this? And I think, you know, they got that question a lot, and they just—I mean, fans probably don't want to hear this, but they just got outblocked. They just got outplayed. I would say too, if you haven't had a chance, just listen to Matt Rule's press conference from this week, his Tuesday press conference. He talked to reporters for I think more than a half hour. Compared the loss to your high school girlfriend breaking up with you. He had all sorts of interesting stuff. He asked.
I miss her every
best
day.
Best part of the day, he looks at, so what?
I said, I miss her every day.
He looks at,
she knew how many times I went on her Facebook.
He looks at Tom Hanselin, who's the sports director at WHIP, which is the student radio station at Temple. Dalton's a part of it, too. And Tom asked the question. I forget what his exact question was. And Matt goes, oh, let me ask you a question. You know, your high school girlfriend ever break up with you? And you just hear Tom go,
yeah.
And you hear some laughter. He goes, this guy's just had this look on their face, like, all right, we're going to move on for it or what? Like, I'll move on from it or what? So it's, I don't know. I think these guys know that they were just completely and totally outplayed. He talked about the fact that they worked Julian Taylor in. He had a great quote about, you know, he said, Julian Taylor is playing on a torn ACL, which I initially took to mean, like, wait, he re-tore his ACL and he's playing on it again. But he said, no, it's reattached in a different way. But he talked about the fact that they kept putting him out there because
medical miracle.
I'm not a doctor. I mean, the fact that they had him out there, and I do, you know, obviously I agree with that. Yeah, the threat of it was still there, but they just got so much yardage on that fullback dive. The fact that they had so few possessions, what did they have, like four? They had four total possessions in the second half, and I don't know.
That's the point of the triple option, right? When it actually gets going, it just deflates you.
Yeah.
Like they had 9-minute drives, 8-minute drives, 6.5-minute drives.
13-play drives that are just... that wear down the defense a lot.
And everything was very, very manageable for Army. 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4. You know, again, it's probably stupid to deal with hypotheticals, but here I'm going to do it. I don't even know if they win that game if they have Jahad Thomas. I'm sure they might get things going a little bit more on offense. I'm still very interested to see him. When they talk about, oh, we're going to use Jahad a little differently this year, we're going to try to get him into space, maybe get him out in the slot. Sure, I mean, I'm interested to see how that'll work, and he's a terrific player, but... I don't know how much it would have helped, because they really just got outplayed up front. They have, you know, again, it's 1 week. They have serious issues at right guard. They started Adrian Sullivan. He didn't look good. They brought in Brian Carter. He looked shaky. So, I mean, I think Matt talked about that maybe. I don't know if you asked him about it in the call on Monday or if he talked about it during the call on Monday. What did he say? He's like, I think we're fine at tackle. It's just up the middle. We're not good.
Well, yeah, I did ask him on Monday's AAC coach's teleconference. I asked Matt just if there's any changes coming along the offensive line. As you said, Adrian Sullivan, he was the starting right guard, and he didn't look very good in his first college start. Neither did Brian Carter when Brian Carter came in. And I asked Matt if there's going to be any changes along the offensive line. And he just said, no, not – you know, we don't have any plans to do that. I think they're going to – he's basically like, those are the guys that we have. You know, I was wondering if maybe they could work in a Benson Israel, who's a redshirt freshman, or an Aaron Ruff, a highly recruited kid from Imhotep. You know, one of those guys at guard. I was just wondering if maybe they could work him in. But it sounds like Sullivan and Carter and Javon Fair are going to be your three guards that they kind of switch in and out.
And maybe if you are that high on Matt Hennessy, maybe as the season goes forward, you can ship McGowan back to a guard, or you can play Hennessy at guard. True to Rule's point, I mean, the release depth chart this week, the only change in the depth chart after getting smacked around by Army was they added Jake O'Donnell as the third-string tight end, and they added Thomas back as the backup safety over Benny Walls. Mm-hmm. So you got smacked, and they're just sticking with their guys. Granted, you know, depth chart's not concrete. That doesn't guarantee that people are going to be starting, but it wasn't a huge shakeup this week.
And so injury-wise heading into this week, so Matt Rule has pretty much counted Jahad Thomas out again. Mm-hmm. Said he may play against Penn State.
Yeah.
And again... That was a surprise to us when we get to the stadium Friday and Jahad's out there warming up, but has his right thumb wrapped, so it was dislocated at some point in camp. So he's out. Colin Thompson is probably going to be out.
Sounds that way.
As of Tuesday, now we're recording this on a Wednesday. Matt Rule said on Tuesday that Ventel Bryant got hurt during Tuesday's practice. We don't know the extent of that. Who else is on there?
Kirkwood's probably out.
Yeah, Kirkwood.
Keith Kirkwood probably out. So
and Jacob Martin is probably out too.
So, you know, they're banged up. Should they beat Stony Brook? Yeah, but, you know, they're not a bad FCS team. All right, so another thing that Matt was asked about too, and again, I mean, he was pretty thorough in answering a lot of questions after the game Friday, very thorough again on Tuesday, like I said, in his weekly press conference. And, you know, Matt was asked about, you know, the energy on the sideline and what has to change there. And, you know, he basically said, you know, I typically say, like, the juice and the energy has to come from the players. But he went into the story about how his wife, Julie, put in her own two cents and said, listen, you guys weren't great on the sideline. And she talked about how they have to be more energetic. So he said, you know what, I got to bring the juice. So this is a clip of Matt Rule on Tuesday talking about how he wants his staff to be more excited on the sideline. So here's what he had to say about that.
So, like, my wife called me out after the game. My wife, she said, my wife, you know, if you ever met my wife has a lot to say in a good way. And she said, your sideline stunk and you stunk and your coaches stunk. Not like you have a bunch of coaches sitting down there just standing there. My wife said that to me. My wife never says anything about football. She said, that didn't look the way you usually look. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm sitting here telling the coaches we have to have energy. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I'm trying to be more like, you know, hey, they did this on this play. You know what? I mean, like, go knock the guy back, you know? So, like, when I came back yesterday, I said, you know what, guys, let's get back to who we were. The 2-10 year that we had here was still my favorite year of coaching ever. My favorite year of coaching. Because once we got rid of the guys, we said, like, they're not going to do it. We took Tyler and all those guys. We went on the field. We said, let's have fun. We'll see if we can win, but let's just coach and have fun and fly around and compete. And so we certainly did that yesterday. Yesterday was the best practice we've had here in 3 years. Today was good. Today's a little different. There's some situations that it was hot, a little hotter. But I don't know if it'll translate on Saturday, but I know for me, I said, you know what? I got to go back to being, you know, me. I got to go have fun. I got to run around. I got to, you know, run the scout team and dap guys up. I mean, I got to, you know, say whoever blocks the punt gets pizza tonight for dinner, or whoever, you know, who gets Kevin Parker's ribs. I mean, that's what I did today. I said, you know, I'm going to have fun while we're out here. And so I had to change. I have to realize this is a different team. I didn't have to do that last year because Tyler and them were doing it. They were standing on the sidelines yelling at me. I think I told you last year I had to get used to this being a quiet team. Well, I'm not getting used to it anymore. I'm going to go be the juice. You know, Fran Brown's going to go be the juice. Sean Patton's going to go be the juice. I mean, we're going to be out there, and we're going to be the juice, and we're going to bring energy. And because there was no energy on the sideline. You know, it was a great crowd. Our Temple students were amazing. Fans were awesome. 34,000, 10,000 students. It's a great, great, great crowd.
All right, so let's talk about Stony Brook again. On the surface, looks like a game that the Temple should win, but they're a pretty good FCS team. They're 1-0. They're coming off a win over North Dakota. And again, if you go back and listen to that press conference from Tuesday, Matt talked about the fact that there are a few guys on that roster that they recruited, some guys that they had in camp before. There's some speed there. Their defense is pretty good. Shane Lawless is, I mean, arguably their best defensive player at linebacker. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like the simple question to ponder, but do they bounce back this week? Again, we've seen Temple in moments of despair before. They've lost in the past to Fordham. They've had to bounce back in certain games. It goes without saying that you absolutely do not want to be 0-3 going into Penn State. We'll have to see how Penn State plays at Pitt this week, but potentially dangerous game, or does Temple kind of just shake it off this week and lay the wood to these guys?
I would think the lad, not may not lay the wood, but I would think they'd bounce back with a win, right? I mean, you have some guys like Sherman Alston, who played for Adazio up at Boston College during his last 2 years.
And, I believe so.
Yeah, but they have some FBS-level recruit, which Rule talked about this week. End of the day, I mean, they went in and they beat a pretty good North Dakota, not North Dakota State team.
Fighting Carson Wentz.
But I think they still only put up 13 points against them. It's not like they went in there, they dropped 50 on an FCS team. It seems like Temple's defense should have the ability and the potential for a bounce back game here, which, quite frankly, considering the way that they played on Friday, is if they put up a similar performance like they did against Army and they squeak out a win against Stony Brook next week in Happy Valley, maybe ugly. They need kind of like a get right game, a medicine game, and it's looking like Stony Brook's offense could lend itself to that.
Yeah, I think this is totally a get right game. I mean, you look at what Stony Brook did on offense. Their quarterback, Joe Carbone, he threw for 159 yards against North Dakota. Their top runner, Stacey Bedell, he ran for 42 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. So, you know, they scored 13 points and won the game at North Dakota, but this is certainly a get-right game for Temple. I think there's probably just too much of a talent gap, and I think Temple does get back on track a little bit. Maybe, you know, it's not as pretty as fans would like, but I think they do get back on track and get a win going into Penn State.
And they average as a team 1.8 yards per carry, so it's not the type of rushing attack that they saw last week against Army. Well, I'm looking more on the defensive end, you know, for playmakers, but the two cornerbacks that they have, Tyrese Beverett and Jaheim Woods, both made a really big impact last week. Combined, they had four sacks. They had all four sacks for Stony Brook against North Dakota State. They had 18 tackles, and they had combined, and they had five tackles for losses. So they're kind of coming from the corners, whereas last week Army's two best defenders were their linebackers. So it'll be a different look for Temple to be able to stop those guys from blitzing on the corners and not have to pick Philip Walker off the ground like they had to do last weekend.
Well, I think that'll be the most interesting thing because, you know, again, you are going into this game without, and again, as we're sitting here on Wednesday, we do not know Ventel Bryant's status. I have no idea, you know, what his injury was. But let's say you're without Ventel Bryant. Let's say you're without Colin Thompson. Let's say you're going to be without Jahad Thomas.
And Kirkwood.
It's a fairly significant piece of your offense you're missing there. Were all three of those interceptions P.J. Walker's fault? No, one went through Broderick Yancey's hand, another through his hands, another, Matt Rule said, was the result of a receiver running the wrong route. But he could have looked much sharper. You've got issues at right guard. I think the one thing the Temple has to watch out for, I'm assuming it's going to be a heavy dose of Rockwell Armstead, David Hood. We haven't talked about the Isaiah Wright piece yet. You know, Matt talked on Tuesday a lot about, you know, we got to figure out a way to get Isaiah Wright into the game. He came in as a wide receiver, but now they're mentioning him as a guy that they could get on the field as a running back. That could be a story to follow. Excuse me, because they need some sort of jolt offensively, I think it would be really interesting and kind of sticky if, you know, maybe offensively Stony Brook isn't doing much, but if defensively they're giving them some problems and then PJ doesn't have as many weapons to go to, and then you find yourself in a, oh boy, it's a 10-7 game again, and we're playing Stony Brook, and they haven't figured out how to, as cliche as it sounds with this program, like flip the switch in the second half, then what happens? That's what I think you have to watch out for on Saturday, if they find themselves in a situation like that and they still haven't learned to, you know, turn the corner yet, so to speak.
Well, I think a fascinating storyline of this game is obviously last week, completely out of sync on offense, didn't look good whatsoever. And now with the injuries, newer pieces are going to be coming in this week. Do those newer pieces find a rhythm with the offense this week and their advanced opportunities? I think that's a very interesting storyline to keep an eye on. Granted, again, it's Stony Brook, but if they have come out and have a good performance this week, and Rule might find some trust in them next week of Penn State, if, hey, if something's going well, keep it going. I think that's a very interesting storyline for this week.
And last week against Army, they, like we were talking about earlier, they went out. B.J. Walker was 3 for 3 to start. You know, Raquel Armstead was running well in that first quarter, 7 carries for 42 yards. And then, you know, that interception, that drop pass by Yancey really kind of switched the momentum of that game, because they're looking to take control, get a touchdown right away, and never not look back. It just didn't work out that way. And, you know, they just couldn't take advantage of those great opportunities that they did have when Sharif Finch blocked that punt. And they had good field position. They had 4 plays for negative 1 yards, resulting in a field goal there. So they got to take advantage of those good field positions that they do get.
All right, so we're coming off a big official visit weekend for Temple basketball. They obviously hosted 2 potential big members of their class of 2017 recruiting class. They had Dre Perry and Marcus Santos Silva in for official visits this weekend. Perry, of course, came out with his top 5 about 2 weeks back. Temple, Kansas State, Virginia Tech are heavily in the mix there. Santos Silva has an official visit planned for VCU in a couple weeks, but those two are definitely 2 to keep an eye on.
Santos Silva now was in the latest Rivals
top 150
for the class of 2017.
Perry's not.
Yeah.
Showing you how much Rivals top 150.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But yeah. as John and I have said on multiple occasions, we're big Dre Perry fans. We like his game a lot. We think he has a chance to be a really good player at the college level. He looks college ready. He's physically ready. Just really smooth. A kid I like and a kid John likes.
Yeah, I mean, if they're able to get him, he's a great way to lead off your class. I just think Virginia Tech might be kind of hard to beat here.
Is it official this weekend or next weekend?
I think it's the end of the month, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he had an unofficial Virginia Tech official visit to Temple this past weekend, and later this month he has a Virginia Tech official visit. Mm-hmm. You kind of usually like to be the last visit there. So, I mean, I would say Virginia Tech is absolutely their biggest competition. You mentioned VCU for Marcus Santos Silva. Over the weekend, not the best news for them to get in terms of past players they were involved with. They had an early offer out to Jordan Pierce early on in the recruiting cycle. He committed to Dayton over the weekend. He's a big man from North Jersey. They had an offer out to Jelani Williams, who was in the Sidball School in D.C., was set to come here later on this month, visited Penn over the weekend, committed to Penn. And who else am I forgetting? Who else? Oh, well then, of course, they had, prior to the football game, we talked about this last week, they had Pancake Thomas in for a transfer from Hartford. A couple sources I had talked to said that they thought Temple was in pretty good position. He visited Temple, did not commit, goes down to Western Kentucky and commits. So they lost out on a chance there to bring in a guard who could have been a potential double-digit scorer, taking some of the load off of Sean Alston. They did not get him. So now the focus goes to, as you said, Dre Perry, Marcus Santos Silva, and then later on this month, or actually this weekend, what, Napier Lewis and who am I forgetting? Napier Lewis, J.P. Mormon,
this weekend
for Stony Brook, and then Jelani Williams is off the list for this month.
Yeah,
so.
But you do have Justin Hamilton, a guard from North Carolina. I believe he's coming in.
Guard, is he a skinny
swing
big,
man?
Right?
Swingman?
Maybe I'm thinking somebody else. I thought he was like the really skinny big from down there.
This is the part of the podcast where we sound really prepared.
Justin Hamilton's 6'10".
Yeah, he's 6'10", so he's not as skinny. What do we say? We say
6'10",
he was a guard.
$1.90.
He's a 6'10 guard.
Hey, you know, he could be Ben Simmons.
He's like Ben Simmons.
Sure.
So,
calling him now, Justin Hamilton. Next Ben Simmons.
So, I mean, obviously, we've said it before. I mean, they don't have anybody yet. This is a very, very pivotal month for them. So, Dre Perry would be huge. But again, you have to keep an eye out for Virginia Tech. So it'll be another important weekend for them, especially with Napier Lewis, J.P. Mormon. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then, Matt, there were some visitors on the football side as well, right?
Yeah, they definitely – the football team did host a good deal of recruits. They had a few of the bigger name recruits that were at the game include Harrison Hand, who's a four-star defensive back from Sherrill West in South Jersey. Temple's obviously been on him for a long time. He was on campus a handful of times during the summer. Was at just I think four of the five Matt Rhule camps. So he's been on campus constantly. Two commits were at the game, Colin Washington and Raheem Blackshear. They also had C.J. Onyeche, who's a three-star linebacker, maybe could play tight end at the college level. He's currently committed to Rutgers, but has taken some visits, took an unofficial to Boston College a couple weeks back, so he's staying open. He might be a guy to watch for later on in the cycle, maybe to take an official visit here. His sister goes to Temple.
And then, biographical information.
Yeah. And then also that Asheem Young, who's a four-star defensive back, safety from Imhotep. He's a 2018 kid with offers from just about everywhere. Alabama's offered him, Penn State. So, you know, just a few kids to keep an eye on.
Devin Leary
was also, he's a 2018 quarterback from Timber Creek. He was there. He has Maryland, some Power 5 schools on him as well. So they had a good amount of visitors at the link for that Friday night game against Army. Obviously not the performance they wanted, but they did have some pretty big high profile recruits at that game.
Alright guys, time for the mailbag. Got a lot of good questions here for the AlScoop.com mailbag. First question comes from at Pat Egan. Question is, will Jihad play against Penn State? And next question is, married to Margot Robbie for 5 years or a lifetime supply of mac and cheese?
Will Jihad play against Penn State? My guess is...
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
I'll say yes.
I mean, who the hell knows at this point? I would think they'd be hard-pressed not to play him. If we know it's a sprained thumb...
I say if he doesn't play against Penn State, you're starting to venture into the will he play at all this year territory.
Well,
I'm just saying, he still has his redshirt year. You miss him for the biggest out-of-conference game. Do you bring him back for 9 games?
Don't forget that. I don't know. A couple people I talked to last year said that the people in Jihad's family were at least trying to test the waters to say, like,
he's the number 6 running back on NFL draft scout.
Yeah, I don't know if Jihad Thomas would be cool with redshirting and saying, "Yeah, I'll come back next year." But who knows? Well, I think we're putting the cart before the horse there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of unclear when Jihad got hurt. We had just heard about this. We didn't really know about Jihad being hurt up until we saw him with the wrap on his hand up before the game on Friday. But when I asked Rhule about it during the teleconference on Monday, he said it happened during the beginning of training camp. So this has been like a month long thing already.
Yeah.
And typically dislocated thumbs don't take more than 4 to 6 weeks
again,
to recover.
They're playing Stony Brook this week, but if Armstead or Hood or whoever else has a strong performance, do they say, okay, well, we're confident enough in this going into Penn State where if Jihad's not 100%?
Nah, I think he plays.
No matter what.
I mean, he's moving around in warm-ups before the game. Wrap his thumb up, get him in there.
Like you say, it's not like it's a ACL or something like that. Like, it's your hand, right? So when it's healthy, it should be full go.
Yeah.
Let's get to the better part of the question. Married to Margot Robbie for 5 years or a lifetime supply of mac and cheese?
This is easy.
First of all, macaroni and cheese is like 5 Kraft things for like $3.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you're asking me, am I married to Wolf of Wall Street Margot for 5 years, or am I going to get like the cash value of like $780? Like, this is a slam dunk question. It did, however, lead to me going pretty down deep the Margot rabbit hole on my work computer, which might not be appreciated by my employer.
See, I thought you. I sorry to cut you off, Greg. I thought you were gonna be like, hold off here for a second. I'm a man who appreciates his processed foods.
I ate macaroni and cheese like 3 days ago. Doesn't mean I would trade it.
I had it last night.
As did I. You know what kind I had last night? They have Boston Market macaroni and cheese in the frozen freezer now.
A la di da over here. No, I'm a Kraft Blue. Kraft Blue all day, every day.
Margot Robbie, stunning. Not even.
Oh, it's a hot take. It's not like it's the foundation.
You needed me to. Carlo proclaims
her
to be hot.
Let me send her a
tweet. Really?
I'll hop online and hop.
Casey, any validation?
Yeah, I just got to check with my wife. You know, but other than that, yeah, she's fantastic. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody going with mac and cheese on this or no?
Absolutely not.
No.
And that's no slight against mac and cheese. Seriously. Nah.
Lifetime supply, though, how many times can you really eat macaroni and cheese, like, a year before it becomes, like, excessive?
I could go without mac and cheese for the rest of my life.
Matt's a lean machine right now. We went to go eat lunch month and a half ago. We ordered bar food, and Matt's like, I'll take a salad with some grilled chicken. We felt like complete gaseous slobs, pretty much.
I do have my moments where I eat poorly, but
I do have the majority
Kyle,
of the time.
What did you eat for lunch yesterday?
yesterday I ate, what was it, Buffalo Wild Wings flavored Doritos, a Arnold Palmer Tall Boy, but it was the Arnold Palmer Zero, so that's zero calories. Yeah. And then
canceling out the Doritos.
And then what was it? A Hostess apple pie.
Oh,
nice. I worked through lunch. I didn't have time to go sit at the halal truck or anything, so I just went. I went to Rite Aid and said, like, this will do.
Don't you gather like five of your truck stop friends and like, listen, Hostess pie Tuesday.
Look, I didn't even tell you the second part is that I also, because it was two for two, I also bought Hostess ding dongs and ate those later in the day, but those weren't part of my lunch. It was just like, hey, I'm not going to turn down. It's like this morning, I went to Wawa like to get gas, and I bought lunch. And I was getting the iced tea, and it was two for two, and I said, well, I'm not going to not get this. So I just saved it for later in the day. Wawa coffee this morning was not good. Still drank all of it. It was not good.
Which one? Was it your first time having Wawa coffee?
No, most of the time I enjoy Wawa coffee. Wawa Columbia Roast, usually pretty good.
Which Wawa were you talking about?
Up in Jenkintown, off 611.
I know that's at.
Right across from
Youth
World. Yeah, it's right near the... Yeah.
Well, that's great. What a great little exchange there. So.
The AlScoop.com podcast brought to you by YouSwirl for Leo. I have gone through many, many frequent punch cards on YouSwirl. Right now, I am currently two away from my next free thing, which is not free. It's only a $5 value, which is only about like 60% of a Froyo visit for me.
Kyle Gals treating his body like a temple.
Megan and I, at least, we haven't done it lately because I've been working a lot, but Megan and I at least once a week will do Froyo for dinner. You just skip dinner.
I thought you were about to say, Megan and I are about to just engage in a cleanse, so this is all
the thing
fine.
About Froyo is you could spend like $11 on a cup of
I spent $19, not just me and my wife together.
But yeah, I'm usually that guy, like I go and I forget that they put it on a scale and I get there. That'll be $27.75. Is it the gummy bears? Is it the snow caps? Where am I going wrong here?
Sticker I put in there? Yeah. I'm use it to swirl
it
the rest
card
of the bar?
It's my fault. All right, what do we have next, Dom?
Next question comes from @BudKnapp on Twitter.
Friends at Al's 24/7.
The question is, I was thinking about restaurant week next week. You guys have any suggestions?
But
they got rid of. So this is
looking
kind of,
to break out of his dining habits at J&H.
We talked a little bit about this last year on the podcast. The only time I used to ever go to the Melting Pot was Restaurant Week because it's such like an elaborate thing, like the time commitment. But Restaurant Week, they kind of like shove you through and you get to experience fondue and just never deal with it again for the rest of the year. So, but if that was still there, I'd say that. But
Kyle going to the unique haunts during Restaurant Week.
It's Restaurant Week.
Go with something.
Why would
chain.
You want? Okay, so here's the point of Restaurant Week. For you to go to restaurants that, like, normally you couldn't afford, right? Like Capital Grill, because it's all, like, built in, like, $35 meals, right? Yeah. Why would you go to some local hole in the wall, which you could
I'm
go to any which you could
wall,
go to any
chain.
Tuesday? You go any Tuesday
don't
and be the only person in the restaurant and pay the same amount you're going
to
pay for a restaurant.
I'm saying don't go to a chain.
I'm
going to
go to Ralph's.
Like,
what are you doing?
I was actually going to recommend Ralph's to Bud. Bud looks like he enjoys Italian food,
Taylor
right?
Taylor Swift went there a couple years ago.
Taylor Swift was at Ralph's?
Ralph's, yeah.
John, you have to have a good recommendation for Bud, right?
It depends on what neighborhood he's looking to go to. We don't have Bud right here. Wouldn't mind turning Bud loose to South Philly. South Philly, you got Ralph's, you got Le Vertu. Depends on what do we peg Bud as? Is he a purveyor of fine Italian cuisine?
He definitely enjoys Italian.
It looks like he definitely enjoys it. I mean, so it's either, I'd say Labor 2, I'd say Victor Cafe.
How about eat anything you put in front of him?
Yeah.
Or you could have Greg's take there.
No filter. Well,
hope that helps, but whatever.
Keep all listening. Right. Next question comes from KJ at Sodexo.
We're catering friends.
His question is, leading by example is great, but every team also needs vocal leaders. Do we have any?
And next question, has anyone stepped up in practice to assume this leadership role? Next question, how has the offensive line rebounded in practice this week?
We got a lot of questions here.
I mean, I think Avery Williams started to step up a little bit vocally, right? Rule said after the game that the people that should have been talking the entire time were finally talking, like Avery Williams finally spoke up, Deion Dawkins finally spoke up. Those are the guys I think you really have to rely on to be the rah-rah leaders.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get to see much of practice. We see 15 or 20 minutes of practice towards the end of practice a week. But from what we see, Avery Williams seems to be vocal, Hassan Reddick, Deion Dawkins, Leon Johnson, P.J. Walker, all those guys seem to be the vocal leaders on this team, I'd say.
And Avery took it pretty hard in that press conference after the Army game. He's, you know, it's all on me. You know, he's taking blame for, you know, the defense not being able to shut down Army. And I thought that was really telling because that was something, you know, I haven't seen.
I think Avery Williams would have accepted blame for anything you threw by him on Friday. Yeah. Avery, climate change. It's all on me, man. It's not my fault. Those plates, those glaciers are moving, man. It's all on me.
I used to use that spray on deodorant. That's not good for the atmosphere, man. There's holes in the ozone layer. I did that.
Voter apathy, man. All on me. I could have gotten there in Baltimore. But I mean, he's like, and again, like he's kind of always been like that. He just kind of got overshadowed by some other players. But you know, 2 years ago, he was the guy who was knocking Greg Ward's helmet off. He, as you guys said, he had a really good game, and he's definitely trying to be that guy. Like, okay, yeah, I played well statistically, but if we don't win, it doesn't matter. So, and the other guys you mentioned as well, if Leon Johnson started to exert himself there, great. But you know, as the coaches and the players have said, you know, you can be a vocal leader, but if they start going out and winning some games and guys produce, that's the best way to do it.
Second part of that question, has anyone stepped up in practice this week to assume the leadership role?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of covered that. A lot of the names that Matt mentioned, Leon Johnson, you know, some of the other guys in the mix there. I think Leon's the most significant one. If Matt's saying that, like, you know, Leon Johnson typically hadn't been, like, a vocal guy, but if your right tackle is kind of stepping out there, that's a good thing. But again, it's like Matt said, we get to see the last 20 minutes of practice, and it was a little bit more colorful last year. Guys like Tyler Matakevich and Nate D. Smith used to joke around with each other and scream at each other. You maybe don't have that just yet, but again, we're seeing such a small sample size of practice. I think people really, you know, leadership is important, again, but I think sometimes people play it up a little too much. I mean, if they go out and win Saturday and, you know, Isaiah Wright carries the ball 13 times for 85 yards and scores 2 touchdowns and scores on an end around, I don't think people are going to be saying, like, wow, is he like a new leader now? He just produces. So, again, it is important, but I think, like,
you can have a guy stand up and scream and yell all you want, but the way they played Friday, they still aren't winning that game.
Yeah.
It's like you after we have a bad podcast. At a certain point, we start to tune you out, but you're just yelling so much at us. Lead by example, Johnny.
It's on me.
It's all on me.
This next one's interesting. What do we have here, Dalton?
Yeah, how has the offensive line rebounded in practice this week?
That wasn't what I was thinking of.
Well, okay. Well, the next question we have is from at @JRUSerious on Twitter. The question is, FMK, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Tricks, Lucky Charms.
Greg, what does FMK stand for?
Well, we can't say that on the podcast.
Fornicate? FCC you gotta shut us down? Like, you can't say fornicate? Yeah.
FMK, fornicate. We know what that stands for. You have choices here.
Kill.
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Tricks, or Lucky Charms?
Oh, this is easy. This is easy.
All right, I want to hear what you guys say.
Tricks, incredibly overrated. Incredibly
so
overrated.
So you're killing Tricks.
Killing Tricks. Never enjoyed it. Don't
even
find the
likes
appeal.
It.
I don't dislike them.
No.
Never found the appeal.
If I had to eat it, I'd eat it.
I like the fact that as you eat Tricks, and you're looking down at your bowl of cereal, the Tricks kind of conglomerate. I like that, they like kind of just drift.
Congeals?
Like,
conglomerates. It's a business now.
I like that. Plus, I like things
acquisitions.
I like things that are grammatically correct, and Tricks aren't grammatically correct. So, how am I supposed to say it?
So you're killing Tricks. I agree, I'm killing Tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think here's what the real decision
tricks.
Is now.
Don't you killing Tricks?
No, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Don't kill Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No. I think
I'm married to Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Like, I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch is like the hearty, substantial.
I eat
like,
Cinnamon Toast Crunch every day of the rest of my life, which
is
why I'm married.
It becomes your best friend. I mean, it's the
marriage
foundation.
Is you wake you up in the morning,
going
downstairs, opening up the cabinet, seeing thousands of other cereals that might catch your eye at first. And you say, no, I made a commitment. And you grab the same box you've been grabbing every day for the last however many years, and you eat that cereal. And that cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, but you gotta let it sit.
What's up,
like,
Meg?
A couple minutes.
Meg does not listen to the podcast.
Lucky Charms Hopefully. Would be the one I'd marry.
Lucky Charms is a, I made a terrible mistake in Lake City one night.
Yeah.
I woke up in the Borgata next to Lucky Charms. It's adventurous.
You're
it's
waking
great.
Up
you
in
could
Atlantic
not eat
City,
Lucky
not
Charms
up
every day.
The small leprechaun or the actual cereal? Which one are you waking up?
The cereal. It's a bowl of cereal.
That's you think you're waking up at the Borgata.
You were in the lobby of the Tropicana. New Trop is nice. New Trop is nice. The sports bar sells 40s.
Old Trop wasn't bad.
Yeah, well,
Kyle's bachelor party was in Atlantic City.
I drank 40s. So
yeah.
But yeah, no. I'm effing Lucky Charms. I'm marrying Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm killing tricks.
I'm on Kyle's.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip that around. I just think Cinnamon Toast Crunch has too much sex appeal to let go.
That's why there's something really comforting about colorful marshmallows in your cereal.
Here's
so
the thing.
I'll go with
would
that
you rather 5-year marriage to Cinnamon Toast Crunch or lifetime supply of mac and cheese?
5-year marriage to Margot Robbie with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's not an option, but I like it.
Your name is greedy.
Next, that was fun.
Next question from at JMLam8 on Twitter. The question is, do you get the feeling that TU is looking to hang a big number on Stony Brook this weekend? And the second part is, what would your pro wrestling nicknames be?
Once again, a quick shout out to John Lamb, who is one step closer to fatherhood.
How close is he?
Gosh, Johnny, I should know this. He's about...
I would say October, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. So, yeah. Soon to be father. Congratulations there. Looking to hang a big number
a big
on Stony Brook?
Yeah.
I mean, if we had John Lamb with us here right now,
it's
we'd say,
it's not
going to
be a Delaware State.
No, and somebody didn't turn his phone off for the podcast.
I did not. Sorry, Dad.
I don't know if they're necessarily looking to hang a big number on him. I think if they're smart, they're very humbled by what happened last Friday. And if they hang a big number on him, it'll be because it happens organically and they stick to their ground game. They don't turn the ball over. They wake up on defense. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
I'd
in the 30s.
I think they're going to win pretty handily. I don't think it'll be like a 59-0. I think you'll see like a, 30-7, something like that.
In theory, after last week, yeah, you should be pissed off and wanting to be hanging up a big number in theory, but I just, maybe 34-13 is my prediction.
Will there be more points scored by Stony Brook or more cheesesteaks eaten between the four of us? Five of us, you're there too, dog.
I can eat cheesesteaks.
But did you
I'm not allergic to those.
Did you last?
No. Just getting familiar with the crust box.
We're not
going to jump right in immediately.
We're not
going to get the feet
cheesesteak this year. There's more options this year. We're not forced.
There's salad, there's meatballs, there's hoagies.
I'm not touching press box.
I'm dropping
press box meatballs would be disastrous.
I'm
going to
put the over under for me individually at 2.5 on Saturday.
All right, so let's say, what do we do? We're all capable of eating at least two, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
These aren't
foot long.
We got club rolls.
Yeah.
We have club rolls.
Yeah.
I'll say put me in a conservative two.
So
what's
the
over-under for the
1 o'clock game, right?
It's 1 o'clock game.
1 o'clock game, so I'm going to a wedding Friday night. I'll probably eat a lot. They've got some crab cakes, some bacon wrapped scallops.
How do you know what they're serving?
I don't, but I'm just saying, if they do, I might eat a lot. I might get there on Saturday and be like, ate too much. I'm just going to do like one cheesesteak. But at halftime, I'm going to be getting my second win.
Are they still out at halftime?
Saying at halftime, I'm going to get my second win. I'm going to eat like six cookies.
They have different cookies this year. They had Snickerdoodles.
I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. What would your pro wrestling nicknames be?
Why is everybody looking at me?
Well, you're more the wrestling guy, right?
Well, yeah, I did spend my entire life savings going to WrestleMania in Dallas this year. I'm actually in
work right now.
That's why we're looking at you.
I do get a Twitter profile out of it. Yeah.
Went to Jerry World.
I was at Jerry World, which, by the way, is absolutely just breathtaking. You just walk in and you're like, holy crap, what do I do now? It's massive. You don't even know, like, the atrium is gigantic. You don't even know what it is.
That's what they're going for, so you don't have to worry about their football team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
What would your pro wrestling names be? I think would be something having to do with, like, the last time I watched wrestling on a regular basis was like in the 80s, like growing up, like Hulk Hogan, Superfly Snuka,
right.
Johnny the Dragon Steamboat.
Well, they're here on Tuesday. You want to
know? Nah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Open invitation.
I'm just not
We're
into
still
it
waiting for
Can we get Al Scoop credentials?
Yeah.
We could.
What would your nickname be?
What would my nickname be? I don't know what my nickname would be. I can tell you what, like, my gimmick would be. I'd be
what
like.
That? be like the Philadelphia rec center baller who's just been like playing rec centers his entire life, just waiting for his opportunity, and I finally get my opportunity. That would be my gimmick, and it'd be face paint involved.
I just keep
shoulder pads and spikes like the Legion of Doom.
Oh yeah,
and you would be from Roxborough, and you would leave the G off of every verb.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm from
Roxborough.
I keep just imagining the Always Sunny episode where they do wrestling, and Frank's the trash man, and he just throws trash into the ring after every match.
What if Dalton would be like the flying allergen? Like he's just like a pile of dust, and he just falls in there, and everybody just
wait.
Does, like,
somebody
they
tweeted
start
a name for Dalton. Did you see that?
I'm dressed up in one of those germ suits from those commercials. What are those commercials?
Wait, somebody tweeted.
I think it might have been John.
Oh, it was a response to
somebody referred
you
as the new guy,
today.
But they said they said the new guy's name would be.
It was a response to.
It's Pat Egan. I'm not sure what his wrestling name would be, but the new guy's valet would be named Claritin Allegra.
That's good.
That's not bad.
What about Matt? What's his pro wrestling name?
I think I have mine.
Go for it.
What is it?
The Vending Machine.
That's good.
There we go.
That's solid. That's creative.
Some have called me that in the past. So
there you go.
Easy way to
stop looking at me.
Long story short, I just want face paint and fireworks.
I'll talk about the pyro.
Yeah.
About the pyrotechnics. Mm-hmm.
Simple yet complex, man.
Next question comes from at Jeff McDev. Question is, what's the worst job you've ever had, and did it ever involve cleaning poop?
Jeff, try cleaning it up with two asterisks in where the.
So I'm going to run you through the laundry list of jobs I had in high school. I was.
We have something in common.
We do. About 15 years apart.
Easy.
I started off as a cart boy at this grocery store called Myers in the Midwest. I only did that for a week, and I just moved. That was my way of quitting.
See, I'm leaving.
Did you ever get a paycheck?
Yeah, because it was like a direct deposit ATM. They give you an ATM card. They give you a Myers ATM card. That's the way they paid you. They would just fill up your card. So I just, the day I moved, I went there, I wiped out all my money, and I just left. And I ignored all the phone calls for, why didn't you come for the shift? I came back, I was a waiter at a retirement home in downtown. I left that to become a produce boy at Clemens, mm-hmm. which is our common. After that, I worked at McDonald's for a couple months. That does not involve cleaning up poop. I did not clean up poop there. After that, was one of my jobs that involved poops. So I worked at a place called Waterloo Gardens, which was a nursery, not like a baby nursery, like a tree nursery. And they had two miniature ponies there. One named Lethal Weapon, and the other one named
That's
Chester.
Telling.
The other one named Chester.
Lethal Weapon
and
Chester.
And both of these animals were, for lack of a better phrase, just asses. They were complete asses. They were just terrible, terrible animals. And my job involved when people bought
ponies.
Christmas trees or they bought mulch.
I love Waterloo Gardens.
I would load it into their cars. I would tie down the Christmas trees. But the other part of it was taking care of those two ponies. And that involved cleaning up a lot of horse crap. I will say that is not the worst job I've ever had, though, because the other part of the job was pretty cool, like just tying on trees. You just sat around.
I almost spilled my drink out, by the way.
When I turned 18, demanded a raise from Waterloo
Gardens.
This
was all before you were 18.
Oh, yeah. I demanded a raise from Waterloo Gardens.
Who demands a raise?
Because I turned 18.
Part-time job.
And they then entrusted me to start driving the tractor around.
Oh,
which, like, you would get, like, these, like, carts. You'd put them on the tractor, and the guy that drove the tractor around would do it. So I said, look, I drive the tractor now. You need to give me some more money. And they said, absolutely not. You're so replaceable. So I just
replaceable.
So I left, and then I moved. And I started working at Target, also involved cleaning up poop. The myth is true that female bathrooms are infinitely worse than guys' bathrooms. That was terrible. Then I started delivering pizzas. Now then I started working at Applebee's and I started delivering pizzas. Then I worked at the tech center at Temple. So two of my, let's say, 10 jobs involved cleaning up poop. I will say Target was the worst job I ever had. That or the initial cart thing, because it wasn't like Target where you had like the machine that pushed the carts for you. They gave you a rope. And just put it in your hands, and you're pulling it. Just grate your hands. Your hands would be bleeding at the end.
How long have I known you? I've never heard about these two ponies.
I've absolutely told you about.
No, you haven't.
Lethal Weapon and Chester.
No, you haven't. What are their names again?
Lethal Weapon, like the movie, and Chester, like the city, or Chester B. Arthur.
Chester B. Arthur. Wow.
I
don't know how you follow that up.
I'm gonna have a photo of Lethal Weapon right now because Waterloo Gardens, despite the fact it is now ruined, it's now closed. They still have an old site.
Aww.
They're ass.
Our pets.
There's also we also have feral cats. Yeah, cats.
So these guys are just like running up to the fence on Whitford Road?
They were in
Whiffer
like this,
Road
back,
right
this
there?
Ba- yeah, it's Whiffer Road. They had this back thing, back area that they were like gated in and had this little like barn that they could sleep in. One time, one of the new guys opened up the gate. They just stormed them and they got out in wild cards. So there's this new kid, probably like 15 years old, 85 pounds, just chasing after these ponies. It's all the way around. People are shopping for like, I don't know, lawn gnomes or whatever they shop for.
Lawn gnomes.
It's horses.
This one looks, mythical.
I also, they used to beat the crap out of each other. Lethal Weapon used to just like kick the crap out of Chester.
Well, that makes sense.
I would just stare there and walk doggy.
That's why his name's Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
I think people at Waterloo Gardens haven't talked as much about these two ponies.
Waterloo Gardens is a big part of my life.
Very rich content. Greg, what about you?
Well, as you might be able to judge my last answer, the wrestling answer, all throughout high school and college, I worked at the rec department here in the city. Mm-hmm. I worked at various rec centers around Roxborough, Manayunk, East Falls. Did day camps, but I had the older kids, so I didn't have any poop stories from that. Rec center bathrooms are kind of dirty, though.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, didn't have anything too bad. I can tell you a story. It wasn't technically a job I had. It was with Philadelphia Neighborhoods class here.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, Philadelphia Neighborhoods is the journalism capstone class here at Temple.
It's called Mural.
Award-winning?
Yes,
the
award-winning.
Mural.
No, it used to be Mural. Now it's Philadelphia Neighborhoods.
That's what I said. I said it used to be called Mural.
I thought you said it's now Mural. Never mind.
So basically, I don't know if it's changed any in the 3-4 years since I graduated, but you would get assigned a neighborhood and you would go cover the neighborhood for a semester. So
mm-hmm.
I was assigned Mount Airy, Germantown, and Chestnut Hill, where I worked with WHYY for the semester. So there was this, 3 years ago, there was this push within the community to legalize chickens as backyard pets because people wanted to grow their own food.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, and it was backed by this co-op thing there. So what they
it's,
were up
to... Wait, it's illegal to have a chicken in your backyard?
At that time it was. I don't know if it's changed any, but it was it wasn't classified as a backyard, as a...
What, do you have a rental property in Chestnut Hill that's in violation of this?
Like,
why do you look, so concerned now?
If I have a nice patch of grass in my backyard and I want to put a chicken coop back there, it is my God-given right to put a chicken coop back there.
Yeah, you live in Glenside. Who cares?
I'm just saying.
So basically what they were pissed off about is that...
Second time you've said that today, by the way.
What?
P.O.'d. I don't care.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
We don't say pissed off.
All right.
Sorry. Sorry, parents.
Okay. Kick him out of the nuttery?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So basically, what they were upset about is that in Philadelphia at that time, again, I don't know if this changed any, it was city code that chickens weren't allowed because they weren't considered household pets, but the code said horses were allowed as household pets. And you had just had to have a certain square footage for the size of your animal. So people were saying, if horses are allowed, why can't we have chickens if they're infinitely smaller? So this woman, like, she goes, she was the head of the push in the community or whatever.
Chickens for Chestnut Hill.
I forget what it was. I've been trying
probably
to forget for 3 years now. But she invites us and my partner to the to her chicken coop compound, which has to happen to be in Northeast Philadelphia, right off the Nifty 50s on the boulevard there. And we go into the, she goes, here, come into the coop. We go into the coop, and there is just chicken poop all.
Was she also evading taxes?
Probably. But, yeah, so there was just chicken poop all over the place, and I still remember it vividly to this day, just the foul smell of that coop.
Ugh.
Oh, thank you.
Matt?
You know, I don't really want to have any comment on this because I don't have any jobs that I worked in high school that I've officially quit.
Did you clean up any poop at Alice 24/7?
I did not. Well, I guess I could talk about that, but I don't really want to bash any of my current employers because, well, I'm a lifeguard and a pizza delivery driver, and I have intentions of working at those two places when I go back home for winter break.
Smart man. Dalton?
I worked at the same golf course for 4 years. None which entailed cleaning up poop, but
what, goose poop?
Yes, that's a mainstay at the golf course. You know, greens, tees, whatever is out there. I don't have to physically pick it up with my hands. Someone will go around with the hose and, you know, get it off the tees with the water. But I've cleaned bathrooms like twice in 4 years, so that's probably the worst that I've had with respect to that. How about you, John?
Worst job. My very first job I did not like. It was at an ice cream place at the Exton Mall called WC Dips. My manager was a guy who...
What? WC Dips?
WC Dips.
Westchester Dips?
I guess. I don't know. West Cowan. It's like W.C. Fields. Really? It's even W.C. Dibs. Yeah, the way the ice cream, my manager was this guy who was like just out of high school, was like super, super, super overbearing, like really, really got into his role of being a manager. Hated that job. Like Kyle, also worked at Clemens. Clemens, at one point, was the greatest place to work. They paid well. Honestly, this is like back in like 1992, 93, 94. They're paying like $10 an hour.
Yeah, by the time I worked there, they were paying $6.75.
They were great. So many people worked there. In that area, you were working there or like Sears Hardware in Exton. They were great.
That's still there.
Continued to work there while on weekends while I was in college. Eventually became the worst job because they had me at like a pizza stand, and then they had me back in the deli. The deli manager at the time was super, super, super religious to the point where he looked down upon anybody who went to college. So I'm in college at Temple at the time, working at the Temple News, and have a chance to go cover the team in the NCAA tournament. This is when they were playing in Kansas City. A young Todd Zalecki was covering the Gophers for the Minnesota Daily at the time. We didn't know each other at the time, covering the team there. And so I go to him and I say, listen, it's less than a week out. I have a chance to go cover the NCAA tournament. I'd really like to have off next weekend. And he like really makes me sweat about it. He goes, I'll have to think about it. And he walks away over toward like the eggs or something. And I'm like, I'm standing in the middle of a supermarket and I don't know if I'm going to be able to go cover the NCAA tournament wearing some sort of smock or whatever. I just felt like really dejected. He comes back later and goes, you and this college thing. And I was like, well, what is that supposed to mean? He goes, well, what's your goal with this? So I was like, well, I'd like to be a journalist at some point. This is a great opportunity. He goes, I suppose. But I'll remember this. And he walks away. I thought, gosh.
If he had said no, would you have quit? Would you have not gone to the tournament?
Oh, yeah. I went home and told my parents. I said, if he doesn't let me go, I'm quitting this job. I'm not going to be working there
about
the next
Spencer's.
Year. Yeah, Spencer's. I'm going to go work at Chess King. Well, I'm making all sorts of 80s and 90s references that you guys clearly don't get. So that became one of the worst jobs. Don't think I ever had to clean up any poop there. Don't have anything relating to chicken coops or ponies. Or
bad.
Goose poop.
Never lived.
True. What a mailbag this
week.
Yeah,
good stuff. Next one comes from Temple J. Question is, I'm a layman, not a football coach, but has anyone asked Coach Snow or Coach Rule why we didn't stack the line against Army? In theory, if speed is our weapon, why not stack the box and force their QB and running backs to the outside? Just wondering.
I think they got asked that question in some way, shape, or form several times, and their response was just like, we got... I think Matt was even more honest about it on Tuesday when he said, didn't he say, Matt, in some way, shape, or form, he said, like, I almost kind of felt like some of our guys were afraid to get cut blocked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
he
so
said some of the younger defensive linemen.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's a way of just basically looking at your team and saying, like, yeah, you guys have to man up. You know, that's what they do. And that's when he made that point about Julian Taylor saying, like, this guy's playing with a repaired ACL and he's not afraid of getting cut blocked. So I think that, again, a lot of people were asking that question. At first it was like, well, yeah, they were running the triple option, but they were getting us up the middle on fullback dives and stuff. And even when that was coming, no matter how many people we sent flying into the pile, it just didn't work. We just got beat up. So, again, I get that. I understand, like, it's your season opener. It's the first time that they really, really came out truly sort of flat from start to finish. They played well at the beginning of the game. It was the first time that they really laid down a clunker. Like I said, even when they played at Notre Dame a few years ago, yes, Notre Dame eventually wore them out, but they came out sort of sharp in the first half and played with energy, and they just got overwhelmed. This was the first time where they really just laid an egg in the opener. And again, how can this happen if you know it's coming? How can this happen when you know they're running the ball? And I think they got that, and they just said, we just got beat up. We just got embarrassed. We just got outplayed. So I understand where that question's coming from, but I don't even think it would have – well, I don't even think it makes a difference. If you stack the box and your guys are afraid of getting cut blocked or they're just not – if they're not playing disciplined football and tackling, I don't know how much it matters.
Next question.
What a lonely little question.
Yeah. From Al Spurk. Question is, same old Temple.
We don't even know. What context is this?
Is it the same
know.
University? Yes.
There's a lot of new construction.
Is it the same place that Russell Conwell founded? I think this was in the football forum.
Yeah, so he's definitely talking about football.
Yeah, so see, I guess as Alex was saying here, like, is this, are they on a bad track? Are they getting back to bad habits? I don't know.
No, but I mean, if they somehow lose a Stony Brook, then all of a sudden you've lost, what, 4 of 7?
Yeah.
Or 5 of 7, 4 in a row. Like, that could... It's getting to the point where if you lose to Stony Brook, all of a sudden it's not this.
Oh, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, it's not Temple's. Hey, Temple's on the uptick. Temple almost beat Notre Dame. Temple beat Penn State. It's Temple's lost five of their last seven. The only two teams Temple beat was a decent UConn team and then a Memphis team that was headed downward at that point.
Mm-hmm. Next question from ScottRail25. Did Webb or Diabate get any playing time on Friday? Same question for
Kwanku.
Kwanku. And I guess, were there any other surprises in playing time that you noticed of young guys?
Webb played, yes.
Greg Webb did play.
Karamo is still injured, did not play. May not play this year. Not because of injury, because maybe depth or whatever it is. William Kwanku did play, I think exclusively on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Sam Franklin was the lone other true freshman.
Yeah, it was just Kwanku and Franklin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, those were the only two freshmen.
Any other,
but you'll
any
see
other surprises in playing time that you noticed of the young guys? I would say I didn't expect Julian Taylor to play that much.
No. No, he played a lot, but he's not a young guy. But still.
Right.
I would be surprised almost that some of the guys that you've heard about the entire time didn't play. I mean, you kind of knew the defensive backfield really wasn't going to get that much rotation just because it's Army. They weren't airing it out. But, yeah, you didn't see – you barely saw Chappelle Russell.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see Sean Bradley.
You didn't see Sean Bradley. You didn't see Deshaun Grimes. Mm-hmm. You didn't see Isaiah Wright.
Yeah, they didn't seem to
– Cortrell Simpson played, but as like a
yeah.
like special teams.
And then I think you might have gotten a – couple snaps at receiver towards the end, but yeah, I think. But you'll probably
just
see
a lot
more. You'll probably see a lot more of those. A lot more of those young guys this week. I think they'll definitely work them in with all those injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Last question for this week's mailbag comes from Xmas City Al. Question: why the cover up of Jihad's injury? I understand the element of surprise, but it seems like Rule was unnecessarily shady about the whole thing, especially given the depth at running back. Thumb injuries are nasty. I had one in high school, and it didn't feel right again for a whole year.
Well, that's a shame. You're also not on the football team.
That could be Jihad.
Yeah.
Boy, coming up my injury.
I mean, yeah, it was a surprise to us. I had no idea he was hurt. I don't know. I mean, what, you know, given the depth at running back, I don't know if they stand anything to gain by talking about it. I don't have much on that one. I mean, other than
maybe they just weren't sure fully of what he was going through. Maybe.
Well, again, I mean, he was out there. He was out there in warm ups. He was in uniform. His thumb was wrapped. Why the cover up? I don't know.
I mean, it's like
it's
you're gonna Belichick it. Like, devil's advocate. What do they have to gain by telling the media that?
No, you say nothing to gain. So. You know, that's why. You get to, in instances like this, what'll happen is, you know, usually the broadcast crew will check with the media relations people who's going today, who isn't, and they'll find out. We get there, we find out, unless we get tipped off by somebody beforehand. I had no idea. Again, unless you use binoculars and look down there and saw his thumb was wrapped, again, it was a surprise to everybody. But yeah, again, if I'm them and I'm a journalist who's supposed to be searching for information, if I'm a football coach, I'm not talking about his injury up until the day of the game either.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how Rule has handled things. He doesn't talk that freely about injuries, and there's injuries that you're kind of surprised by, guys that don't play. That's kind of just how things go.
Mm-hmm. Well, covered a lot of ground, talked about cereal, talked about Margot Robbie, talked about mac and cheese, talked about jobs where we would or would not clean up poop.
Wrestling names.
A lot of information about the rec centers in Philadelphia. Peck Miller's got a mention at one point.
Trying to get that sponsorship.
A lot of talk about cereal.
Now we'll start getting questions about different types of food each week.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, any closing thoughts? Any parting shots?
Do you know that Mechie Walker is at Iowa State now? Former Temple commit from Harrisburg.
Didn't expect the podcast to take that turn.
Yeah.
Iowa State.
Dropping the knowledge.
Matt Eaton's there, or will be there.
Temple West. Well, obviously, I have more to talk about.
I have more to talk about next week.
Maybe some basketball recruiting updates. Certainly, a lot to get into with football. We'll either be talking about a 1-1 Temple team that got itself on the right track after beating Stony Brook, or we're talking about an 0-2 team that could be in a lot of trouble heading to Penn State. So, as always, thank you so much for listening to us and bearing with us through the very lengthy and humorous mailbag. And
you're not allowed to call it humorous. You can't. Anyway,
I thought it was funny.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
It was funny. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.